taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
I don't know if it would be like some kind of example, but when I get out of here, I have a story to tell, and I am going to try to do everything I can to protect the children, because that's what's happening, is that kids are being
absolutely
horribly abused.
I'm Lauren Mathias, and this is Hidden True Crime, where we delve into the hidden motives of unimaginable crimes. And a new lawsuit's been filed against convicted Mormon mommy vlogger Ruby Frankie and her therapist turned Connections cult leader Jody Hildebrandt. And it's a bombshell, filed on January 22nd, 2025. I've read the lawsuit. It's 112 pages, and I am here to break it all down for you. What I share in this episode comes directly from the lawsuit filed by plaintiff Michael Tillman, and I cannot confirm the lawsuit's claims to be facts. So I want to lay that out. But what the lawsuit states and what the lawsuit claims is damning. The lawsuit lists the plaintiff as Michael Tillman. The defendants are the incarcerated Jody Hildebrandt and Ruby Frankie, as well as the Connections Classroom Company, plus a new name we've yet to really hear, Michael Washburn. Michael is also referred to as her maiden name, Michael Savage, and because Michael Savage is a female and the ex-wife of the plaintiff, Michael Tillman, so plaintiff Michael and defendant Michael were once married, Michael and Michael, there's a lot of Michaels going on, and that's confusing. So I'm going to stick to calling defendant Michael Savage Washburn by her maiden name Savage, and just like the lawsuit does, hence I'm going to call her Savage, and her ex-husband and plaintiff Michael, we'll call him Tillman. The lawsuit describes a long and complicated relationship with Michael and Michael, aka Tillman and Savage, beginning when they were still married. Back then, Tillman and Savage were both seeing Jody Hildebrandt for couples therapy, and according to the lawsuit, after their divorce, ex-wife Savage continued to see Jody, even becoming a mental fitness trainer for Jody's Connections company. And nearly a decade later, according to the lawsuit, ex-wife Savage continues to be a devout follower of Jody's teachings. But before we delve into the details of this relationship and story, let me set the stage with a few more details. Much of the suit talks about Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrandt in regards to their aggravated child abuse convictions. In August 2023, Ruby Frankie's severely malnourished 12-year-old son escaped therapist Jody Hildebrandt's $5 million mansion in southern Utah, where both Ruby and Jody were living. The boy, covered in deep wounds and duct tape, sought help at a neighboring home, which then led to the arrest of both Jody and Ruby. The pair were charged with multiple counts of felony aggravated child abuse for both the young boy as well as his 10-year-old sister, who was also found in the home. I've been to this awful house of horrors hidden among the serene red rock of Ivins, Utah. It's unfathomable what happened there. Both children had been tortured and starved, and Jody and Ruby remain behind bars. Although the lawsuit delves into the abuse these children suffered, I don't want to go over too many more of those awful details again. And so if you are new to this case, I'm linking all of my previous videos and podcast episodes in the description of this episode so you can get caught up. And you can also find the full 112-page lawsuit we're discussing today on patreon.com/hiddentruecrime. Just know, though, that I will be referring to Jody and Ruby quite a bit throughout this episode because they are defendants in this lawsuit, along with Jody's Connections Classroom, as well as ex-wife Savage. So to start, the suit claims the services offered by Connections Mental Fitness Trainers, and the Connections Foundations are all fraudulent. These fraudulent services offered by Connections include marital counseling. They include self-improvement counseling, group session counseling, classes, workshops, plus written materials like, say, self-improvement workbooks. And all of these services, according to the suit, are fraudulent. It's fraudulent organized crime. And the lawsuit claims that the fraudulent organized crime, this connections racketeering, continues to this day, claiming to be a self-help group. The suit calls this racketeering enterprise, quote, the enterprise. So remember that, for throughout this episode, we're going to refer to this racketeering enterprise as the enterprise. And according to this suit, the enterprise is big. It's big and it's widespread and it's fraudulent. This giant racketeering enterprise, according to this suit, is essentially making a lot of money, a lot of profit still, by preying on vulnerable people seeking these counseling services. And then these vulnerable people become unsuspecting victims who are then indoctrinated into the connections teachings. And then once indoctrinated, the enterprise encourages these vulnerable people, these victims, to commit illegal acts on others. It's shocking when you think about it. So in other words, it turns the victim into the perpetrator. And all of this is in pursuit of power and profit. The suit claims that, quote, Hildebrandt and other members of the racketeering enterprise, including the defendants, prey on individuals in vulnerable positions who are seeking legitimate mental health services, and then indoctrinates these individuals to become members of the enterprise, instructing associates to perpetuate child abuse, child torture, and physiological abuse on any individual in their lives not deemed in what Hildebrandt has coined as truth, as in aligning with Hildebrandt's will, end quote. The suit explains Jody's self-coined term of distortion and truth as her belief that anyone who is in distortion should be punished until they come into truth. Distortion is essentially bad thinking or bad behavior, while truth means doing what Jody deems as the right thing. So whatever Jody says, she's the end all be all to truth.
So many of you know this word is shame. I started using the shame word for probably, I don't know, 5 years, and people were having the hardest time wrapping their head around shame, what shame was. And I was teaching about shame, and I went to God and I said, people can't understand the word shame. Do you have another word? Can you give me another word? And I heard one day, distorting the truth. And I was like, oh, brilliant, distortion.
It discusses how Jody essentially gains the trust of her clients, AKA victims. And then eventually Jody demands that they accept that only Jody is the one who can help them. And the only way to do this is, quote, through inflicting pain, punishment, and even physical torture onto others, end quote. So this isn't completely shocking to me. It's upsetting, very upsetting, but shocking, no. We've heard this before from Adam Paulsteed. He interviewed with us at Hidden True Crime just after Jody and Ruby were arrested. And Adam says he was a victim of Jody very early on.
Jody Hildebrandt, which my ex, went to the honor code office and started talking about into all their disciples that they were following, they were bringing in, how because I didn't handle my addiction and didn't do their program, my whole life was destroyed and I was going to prison for abuse. And when I was in chains in an orange jumpsuit, I looked across the room. I saw all the new recruits of the new wives sitting there with my ex-wife and Jody watching, and smiles and smirks on their face.
Jody Juniors.
Yeah. I didn't realize that I was the one that was free.
We will get into Adam's story a little later on in this episode, but I want to introduce him now because I think his story backs up this idea that for years, Jody has been destroying lives by convincing people she is the only person who can help them, the only person. So back to Savage and Tillman now. Let's get into their relationship. According to the lawsuit, Tillman, the plaintiff, is another one of Jody's victims, just like Adam Paulsteed. And like I mentioned, Tillman and his ex-wife Savage were married when Savage started seeing Jody back in 2015. Now, at that point, they had a little girl. And according to the suit, it didn't take very long for his ex-wife Savage to be completely sucked into Jody's teachings. What started as just getting marriage and personal counseling quickly turned into Savage becoming a loyal member, a loyal follower of Connections, and an even more loyal follower of Jody Hildebrandt. The suit alleges that Savage and Jody worked together to conspire and actually create marital problems between Tillman and Savage so that he too would become a member of Connections and invest in the program, which worked, actually. And he eventually did just that. Tillman joined Connections. It began in early 2016, before Jody even met Tillman. And Jody began telling his wife, Savage, during their separate therapy sessions that Tillman had a pornography addiction. Jody even instructed Savage to do a scan of Tillman's computer, to which absolutely nothing was found because the addiction, well, it did not exist. But regardless of nothing being found, Tillman's wife told him that if he wasn't addicted to porn, well, then he must be addicted to something else, and that he needed to enroll and pay for the Connections 12-step addiction program, or else Savage would divorce him. And with that ultimatum, Tillman finally complied. But then just 3 months later, in May, Jody demanded that the husband and wife separate, not divorce. She's not asking Tillman and Savage to divorce. Jody is just saying, hey, you know what? Why don't you two separate for a little bit? And if you know Jody, you know this is something we've heard before. All of Adam Paul Steed that we mentioned already, and as well as Ruby Frankie and her husband, Kevin Frankie. Jody separates and Jody conquers. And once Tillman and Savage separated, Tillman's time with his little girl, his 18-month-old daughter, who I will refer to throughout this episode as EJ, well, all of a sudden, Tillman's time with EJ was severely restricted. Once again, this is the usual pattern that we've seen with Jody Hildebrandt and with Connections. At first, Tillman was able to see his little girl EJ for 2 hours every other day, and then it turned into 6 hours every Saturday. Keep in mind that at this time, they were still married, so there wasn't any enforceable custody order that Tillman could rely on. Savage demanded that Tillman do the following, or else she would file for divorce. Number one, this is what, according to the lawsuit, Savage required of Tillman. Number one, he needed to attend the Connections 101 class to learn principles of truth in a group setting. Number two, experience godly sorrow for every neglecting and abusive behavior. Be able to articulate what godly sorrow means and describe what your godly sorrow has felt like for every abusive behavior. Number three, find and utilize a sponsor and be able to identify and eliminate pride, manipulation, codependent and controlling tendencies. Four, identify the harmful behaviors you experienced in your family of origin and emotionally damaging behaviors which are current within that family. Also, prove to me by your actions that you will sever yourself from these behaviors and lifestyles. So basically, spend money on Connections, adhere to Jody's principles, isolate from your own family, and admit to things that Tillman has never done. Around 2 months later, his wife sent Tillman an email that read, quote, Mike, what I hear you say is the bad Mike is dead and the good Mike is in full swing. I will hold you accountable for your behaviors to align with what you are saying. If you are where you say you are, you will be willing to step into the truth and stay there, partnered with God. I will be the judge of where you are. And although I am so hopeful about what you say, your behaviors will be the real manifestation of it when you come home. I hope you are prepared to show me in your actions you are in real recovery, end quote. That same month, which was July of 2016, there happened to be a family vacation to Canada scheduled. However, Tillman became so sick with a respiratory infection that he wasn't able to travel, and they had to extend their family vacation by a week, you know, probably because he needed to rest. But in his wife's eyes and Jody's eyes, that meant he was in distortion, and his wife threatened that he wouldn't have a home when he came back. So in other words, if you have a respiratory infection, probably because you're in distortion. And when he told her that the most important thing to him was that they live their religion together, which was the LDS or Mormon faith, Savage responded to Tillman by telling him that the most important thing to her was being married to someone that lives Jody Hildebrandt's principles. I mean, tell me you're a cult without telling me you're a cult. And when Tillman brought up concerns about how much money they were spending as it related to Jody and connections, well, she responded by saying that she was willing to spend all of their money on it. Once again, seemingly proving this undying devotion that the members of Connections have when it comes to the business and Jody herself. Tillman told Savage his concerns about Jody destroying their marriage and begged to see another counselor, any counselor besides Jody, but she refused. She also told him that the only way she would stay married to him is, quote, if he declared unwavering allegiance to Jody Hildebrand's methodology, end quote. The lawsuit then draws the comparison to Adam Paul Steed's story and how this exact same thing happened to Adam Paul Steed with his ex-wife while she was working with Jody. Savage and Tillman remain separated but still married, and in September of 2016, Tillman was invited to Arizona to see his mom for her birthday and Labor Day. But his wife convinced him that seeing his mother would be abusive and that if he did that, he would not be able to see his daughter. So in other words, pick one, your mother or your daughter. So Tillman skipped the trip. Despite doing what his wife demanded him to do in order to have visitation with EJ, Savage still withheld visitation. Shortly after this, she completely cut him off from seeing their daughter for weeks. And despite his pleas, she simply sent him a message saying, quote, Michael, I can imagine how hard this is. It must be very frustrating and painful, end quote. At Jody's direction, she also convinced him to see a different therapist named Ted Jurin. And once again, threatening divorce if he did not comply. As a busy working mom, it is hard to find time to shop or find that right outfit for that certain event. That's where Armoire comes in. I choose clothes to rent. They come right to my doorstep from my phone, and I get to try all of these new clothes regularly, figuring out what I like and don't like, all without those awful dressing room mirrors. And when I am ready to swap my clothes out for different styles, Armoire can do my laundry. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you build the perfect wardrobe with high-quality brands recommended just for you. All you need to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready, swap them out for more new-to-you styles. Right now, our Hidden Gems can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/hiddentruecrime. That's Armoire, Armoire.style/hiddentruecrime to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Hormonal changes are so hard, to say the least. Hot flashes, anyone else? Add in the thousands of hormone disruptors that are in our environment, and it is even worse. From our water, food, the air we breathe, and the clothes we wear, they are everywhere. But the good news is that when Hormone Harmony enters the picture, it can help reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is a supplement that contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. The best thing about adaptogens, they help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Hormone Harmony is actually part of my personal 2024 playbook. Hormone Harmony makes no compromises when it comes to quality, and it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. That's happy, H-A-P-P-Y, mammoth, M-A-M-M-O-T-H.com. Just use the code HiddenTrueCrime at checkout. That's code HiddenTrueCrime. Use that with happymammoth.com for 15% off today. Every year I make the eat healthier, workout, be healthier resolution, but every year it's hard to stick with it. If I had an automatic way to do those things, it might happen. It would be a breeze. Similarly, every year, thousands of people add saving money and investing money to their New Year's resolutions, and Acorns makes it easier to start saving and investing automatically. You don't need to be rich or have to go on some crazy budget that doesn't allow you any freedom. With Acorns, you can start with $5 or even just some spare change. Acorns shows you where your money's going and you see projected growth. Head to acorns.com/hiddentruecrime or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing in your future today. Paid non-client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/hiddentruecrime. Tillman went and saw Ted. And then after Tillman started seeing Ted, his wife then said to him, oh, and by the way, if you don't consent to your records with Ted being sent to me, to her, to Savage, that she would not let Tillman see their daughter. Tillman explicitly told Ted that he did not give permission for his records to be shared with his wife. But the suit alleges that despite that, Ted falsified records about consent and then provided his wife with all of the records. Having no other options, in October of 2016, Tillman filed for divorce and an emergency order to enforce his parental rights. And it seemed to cause his wife to change her tune, actually. And for all about 24 hours, Savage went from begging him to stay and agreeing that they could go to their church for help instead of Jody to then meeting with Jody the next morning and completely reversing that agreement right after the meeting. And her reasoning? Well, her reasoning was, quote, her girls needed her, end quote. Who are the girls? She's referring to members of Connections. Once again, putting Connections over family, which we have seen time and time again. And also, as a side note, I find it interesting she referred to them as her girls because Ruby did the same thing. Savage even sent Tillman a text message saying, quote, I know there is no way to change if you avoid the pain or shut down from feeling it. People who enable you to not feel the consequence of your actions don't really love you. That is what I did when we lived together. The most loving thing I've ever done for you is to separate and no longer enable you. The pain is what makes us strong enough to never commit the sin again. I know we will never have that strength to change unless we feel the pain. I give it as my personal opinion that I believe you haven't really felt that because I've seen you shut down from feeling pain and I haven't seen that you felt the joy of repentance. That makes me sad. I know what joy is waiting for you and that you have chosen not to enjoy it, end quote. Well, Tillman divorcing his ex-wife only seemed to make her fall deeper into the Connections method. And according to this suit, Savage began taking things out on little EJ, who is now 10. I want to warn you that the things you're about to hear draw similar parallels to Ruby Frankie's two youngest kids and the abuse they suffered at her hands. The suit alleges that in 2017, shortly after Tillman filed for divorce, EJ began, quote, returning from Savage with unusual injuries, including, without limitation, a laceration spanning EJ's entire right hamstring, a large dark bruise inside her thigh, a dark purple bruise over a whole toenail, and long lacerations on her chin and neck, end quote. In September of 2017, EJ came back with a large bruise next to her eye. Tillman was so concerned that he immediately got police involved at the station where they did their custodial exchanges. And when police talked with EJ, EJ stated, quote, mommy did it, end quote, which prompted the police to get DCFS involved. When Savage found out about this, she told EJ not to talk about what happened to her. A few months later, Tillman went to his ex-wife with concerns about EJ being dehydrated as her urine had been super dark after returning from her mom's house. For the previous five or six visits, this was a repetitive thing. And so after he requested the Savage completely ignored that message. And then a few months later, EJ went to her dad's with another bruise around her eye. When the police were yet again involved and asked Savage what happened, she told them that EJ fell on a banister. Well, shortly after that, EJ came to her dad's with a large bruise on her hip and a laceration through it. And then that same month, EJ called her dad while she was at her mom's in a manner that the suit alleges as distressed. On that video call, she had, quote, large bruises around her right eye, on her right cheek, under her left eye, and under her lip, end quote. When Tillman contacted his ex-wife, Savage, about taking her in for medical care to make sure she didn't have a brain injury, well, Savage told him that the injuries were not serious and would not let him take her in. When EJ returned to her dad's, he immediately took her in to be seen by a doctor. EJ told the doctor that a mirror fell on her face and that her hip was injured by falling on the sidewalk. The doctor did feel like things were not adding up, and so the doctor then got DCFS involved. Savage tried telling DCFS that the cut under EJ's lip was just a rash. She told them that EJ only had one bruise by her eye when she, in fact, did have two. And while EJ said that she hurt her hip by falling on the sidewalk, Savage told DCFS that she actually fell off an ottoman, which the doctor treating her did not believe was possible as an ottoman is close to the ground. In regards to the mirror, Savage initially said that it was 20 pounds and then later, well, she changed it to being 60 pounds. Once again, the doctor did not believe that a mirror caused those injuries to little EJ. And Savage herself later testified that she, quote, may have, end quote, told EJ to tell her dad that a mirror fell on her. A few weeks after all of that, EJ then went to her dad's and she had a welt on her forehead that was covered by a Band-Aid. Tillman once again took her to the doctor to be checked out. Well, the following year, which puts us at November 2019, EJ showed up at her dad's with yet another facial injury, this time a goose egg on her forehead with a laceration through it. When Tillman took her to be checked out, the doctor said EJ stated that she was playing on some large rocks and she fell forward and bumped her head. She is unable to tell me what happened, the doctor said. A couple months after that, she showed up at her dad's with a large dark bruise that covered nearly her entire upper right hamstring. After consulting with the Children's Justice Center, the ER doctor was instructed to contact DCFS due to the size and location of the injury. The suit states, quote, medical providers could not determine if EJ has a recollection or is inventing a story about her injuries, saying bruising is not consistent with what EJ is saying and bruising on EJ's upper buttocks or lower back is not consistent with falling on a sidewalk, end quote. The suit goes on to say that the alleged harm towards EJ is still currently happening. Did you hear that? The suit alleges that the harm towards EJ is still allegedly happening. She has recently come back to her dad's with dark bruises and cuts on her thigh, wrist, cheek, and temple. At one point, she came back with a severe sunburn. If you remember, Ruby's children also had severe sunburns after being forced to work outside in the southern Utah desert heat, triple digits, as a punishment. When Tillman went to the court about all of this and EJ returned to his house, she had yet another bruise on her face, this time her cheek. She was hiding in her room and crying, but she would not tell her dad what was upsetting her. Eventually, EJ admitted it was because her mom hurt her after Tillman brought all of these injuries to light, and Savage blamed EJ for her injuries. Because of the ongoing harm being inflicted on EJ in the care of her mom, the suit claims that for years, EJ would scream, cry, and hide so she did not have to go to her mom's, saying she hated her. This began when she was a toddler, and there were times that she would be so inconsolable that Savage would call Tillman to talk to EJ or even have him meet them to calm her down. She would also scream at her mom, telling her to leave and even go as far as hitting her. When Tillman was fighting for the care and safety of his daughter, at the time, he really wasn't aware that everything happening was part of Jody's teachings. That wasn't until the summer of 2023. When the news of Ruby and Jody's arrest finally came to light. And that's when all of a sudden he thought, wait a minute. But despite that arrest, sentencing, and the admission of crimes by Ruby and Jody, Savage still seems to be completely wrapped up in the teachings of Jody and connections. After news of the arrest came to light, Tillman reached out to her seven different times with concerns. And I have them all here. They're listed in this lawsuit. So on September 1st, 2023, so this would be just a little over a week after the arrest of Ruby and Jody, Tillman texted Savage saying, quote, Ms. Hildebrandt was arrested on two counts of intentional aggravated child abuse. With that, I think it's in EJ's best interest to not utilize her teaching with EJ in any way, end quote. Savage responded by saying that Jody wasn't this issue and he was the issue. Tillman was the issue because he reported the harm that EJ had suffered. Tillman responded saying, quote, can you confirm that you will not utilize Ms. Hildebrandt's teachings with EJ? using her teachings would be concerning, seeing she has been charged with 2 counts of intentional aggravated child abuse, the most severe type of child abuse per statute. A pediatrician indicated injuries to EJ could only be explained by abuse, and the pediatrician indicated you were untruthful with DCFS multiple times in the investigation, end quote. Well, Savage didn't respond. She ignored the message, but 3 days later, Tillman texted her after finding out more charges had been filed against Jody, saying, quote, Ms. Hildebrand has now been charged with 6 instead of 2 counts of intentional aggravated child abuse. Because she encourages intentional aggravated child abuse in her teachings, could you let me know if you still consider that one must accept her teachings to be in truth and if you will continue to utilize her teachings with EJ? End quote. Well, once again, Savage told him Jody wasn't the issue. Tillman's reporting was. On December 27th, after Ruby and Jody took a plea, Tillman texted Savage again saying, quote, Hildebrand and Frankie pled guilty to 4 counts of second-degree felony child abuse, admitting to physically torturing Frankie's 12-year-old son and indoctrinating 2 of Frankie's children, both under 12 years old. I believe EJ is unsafe with you if you maintain your commitment to Hildebrand and her teachings. If you continue to refuse to disavow Hildebrand, we need to come to a custodial arrangement where EJ is not in further danger of physical harm from you, end quote. Savage ignored him. After sentencing in February, where Ruby talked about Jody, Tillman sent another message saying, quote, at her sentence hearing, Frankie described that the principles that you are using with EJ, Hildebrand's teachings, as dark and dangerous, end quote. Followed by another text saying, quote, are you willing to stop using these dangerous principles and teachings with EJ and in our co-parenting, end quote. Savage did not respond. And then last March, after all this evidence was released in the case, Tillman texted Savage again saying, quote, the body cam video of when Frankie's children were rescued was released today, and it was heartbreaking. EJ and I have suffered from these same tactics for years from you following Hildebrand. Am I correct in understanding that you are unwilling to disavow Hildebrand's teachings with EJ and in our co-parenting and even after seeing this child abuse? End quote. And what was Savage's response? Nothing. 3 days later, he sent another message that was again ignored. It said, quote, Hildebrand's jail calls show she still believes in the torture of children as normal parenting. This concerns me with how religiously you look to her in treating me and EJ. Can you please confirm you will not use Hildebrand's abusive teachings with EJ and in our co-parenting, end quote. Seemingly, none of those messages sent by Tillman to his ex-wife had any effect. It's also important to note that Savage is now remarried to someone referred to in the lawsuit as Washburn, hence her name being listed in the suit as Michael Savage Washburn. Her husband, who we will refer to as Washburn, her new husband, is apparently also into connections and Hildebrand's teachings. And to top it all off, based on social media searches, it seems like the two of them now have a young son together. So 2 children. And together, according to the lawsuit, Washburn and Savage may be continuing to indoctrinate EJ with the connections and Hildebrand teachings. In July of 2023, Washburn and Savage created a secret email so that they could communicate with EJ while she was at her dad's. EJ later said that in those email messages, her mom would convince her to say false positive things about her and false negative things about her dad. The suit also alleges that Savage coerced EJ to tell Tillman's new wife, her stepmom, that her dad abuses women. Savage also allegedly requested a full rundown of EJ's time with her dad, and at one point even had EJ take a confidential financial document from her dad's house to give to her. Now, pivoting for a moment, I did do my own investigative research upon this suit being announced, and I did find some documents from Tillman and Savage's divorce. The divorce painted Tillman in extremely bad light, and he essentially lost in a bench trial back in 2021. However, that was recently overturned. So Based on the suit, Savage is a huge believer in Jody and her connections teachings. But how deep do Savage's ties to connections really go? Well, it didn't take long from the time Savage began counseling with Jody until she essentially began working for Jody and became a mental fitness trainer. Mental fitness trainer. It's a brand. It's a Jody brand. And if you aren't familiar with connections, you might be wondering what that is, this mental fitness trainer.
So Ruby, you want to tell us about what a mental fitness trainer is?
Yes. So we are getting mentally fit the same way your body would get physically fit by running and lifting weights and working with a personal trainer. We are getting ready to be your mental fitness trainer. We're getting truth, really easy to teach. We're making it very simple, boiling it down to principles. That's how you're going to understand truth, is really knowing principles, being able to put words to it and help you, and you're going to feel so much better.
Absolutely.
The suit states mental fitness trainers act to further the objectives of the enterprise by selling the enterprise's fraudulent services, indoctrinating members and victims, and promulgating the objectives of the enterprise, end quote. So in other words, let's just call them Jody's little minions and right-hand people that work to bring more people into connections. Ruby Frankie was one of those so-called mental fitness trainers who recruited others into Jody's teachings. From May 2016 to July 2016, Savage repeatedly contacted her former sister-in-law, Jessica Blanche, who was Tillman's brother's now ex-wife, if you followed that. So Tillman's brother's now ex-wife, but at this point they were married, and Jessica was contacted by Savage to join connections. The suit alleges that Savage committed wire fraud by calling Blanche over 20 times while she was in Idaho, and Savage was in Utah, all for the purpose of getting her to join connections. At the time, Savage told Tillman that she was provided by God to save Jessica Blanche and her husband's marriage. Savage told Blanche that Tillman's brother was in distortion and that Blanche needed to inflict pain on him. According to the suit, Blanche became all in on the connection's teachings and then began beating her husband. This is all in the suit. Claims in the suit. And at one point, she even ripped his shirt off and tried to attack him with a knife. After severely bruising, biting, and scratching her husband, Blanche was arrested and charged. She was charged with domestic battery. But before and after the incident, Savage told Blanche that she was justified because he, her husband, was in distortion and the pain would bring him into truth. Well, after that marriage ended and Tillman's brother was luckily in a new relationship, Savage tried to recruit that woman who was also in Idaho into connections. So the new relationship. The suit alleges she stalked him and the woman. So she stalked her ex-husband's brother and his new relationship to find out that they were dating, and then further states, quote, Savage monitored and surveyed the personal affairs of Tillman's brother and this romantic partner through regularly monitoring their activities, so surveillancing them. Monitoring their dating life, social media posts, and the progression of their private relationship, including ascertaining that they were a romantic couple, which resulted in Tillman's brother and his romantic partner fearing for their safety after determining that an individual unknown to this romantic partner constantly monitored their personal affairs. Savage even allegedly sent her messages saying that God had told her that Tillman's brother would kill her and that if she listened, God would tell her the same thing. So the suit lists several victims of connections over the years, including Jody's niece, Jesse Hildebrandt, Adam Paul Steed, Dave Bateman, and Spencer Tibbetts. When Jesse was a child, they were subject to severe physical and emotional abuse by their Aunt Jody. Some of that included being forced to run up and down a mountain for 6 hours with people at the bottom ensuring they couldn't escape, restraining them with duct tape, forcing them to sleep outside in the snow, and accusing Jesse of being addicted to explicit content and masturbation. And remember, they were just a child. In regards to Adam Paul Steed, Adam and his wife sought marriage counseling from Jody in 2008. Like Jesse, Jody accused Adam of being addicted to explicit content and masturbation. There were times that Adam and his wife were paying Jody up to $2,000 a month on treatment fees. When Jody told him he needed to triple down on the amount of therapy sessions and Adam refused because that's a lot of money, Jody essentially went to town in an effort to destroy Adam's life. Jody and Adam's wife conspired together to accuse him of sexually abusing a small child. And similar to Tillman's experience, Adam received demands from his wife at the time, at the direction of Jody, to keep his marriage together, which included, quote, remaining in the enterprise, paying the enterprise thousands of dollars per month for fraudulent, unnecessary services, and a requirement that Adam could not see other therapists, end quote. Jody then gave false information about Adam's counseling sessions with her to leaders in his church, honor code officials at the university he was attending, BYU, and two other therapists. Because of Jody's unethical behavior, Adam ended up going through a divorce, lost church privileges, and was temporarily suspended from his university. Eventually, Jody ended up having her license revoked for 18 months, or I guess not revoked, excuse me, put on probation. Jody never actually had her license revoked until she was convicted with, you know, aggravated child abuse. But for a moment, her license was on probation for 18 months because of Adam Paul Steed. And it was due to her unethical ways with Adam. Dave Bateman was another alleged victim of Jody Hildebrandt, who actually sued her for $300,000 in 2019. Well, Dave and his wife sought counseling through Jody. When he realized that they weren't helping his marriage, these counseling sessions, he ended the counseling, and soon he and his wife filed for divorce. Not only did Jody work with Dave's ex-wife to conspire a child abuse plot against him in court, but she also instructed his ex-wife to go to law enforcement about Dave and claiming that he was harming their children. And Jody herself even falsely reported him for harming his own children. In fact, some of you might remember Paige Hanna. Paige was a mental fitness trainer at Connections and worked very closely with Jody and Ruby. Well, back in 2017, Dave filed a civil suit for stalking against Paige Hanna. The suit ended up being dismissed, but it is on court record that Paige had in fact assisted with putting a tracking device on Dave's car and following him. Spencer Tibbetts, that's another victim of Connections, according to this lawsuit. Back in 2018, while he was a minor, his parents hired Jody to be his counselor. Well, Jody put him in a men's group that was for pornography, lust, and sex addiction. This was despite the fact that Spencer had never even viewed explicit images, nor did he even know what they were at the time. Spencer was on a group call one day that Jody made him be a part of when a group member described incest fantasies to him. Keep in mind, he was still a minor, so it was illegal to force him to even participate in conversations of this nature.
What were some of those sessions like for you as a 21-year-old now looking back at your 16-year-old self?
Well, at the time, it was, especially because of how locked down things were at my house after we started therapy with Jody. It was like the first outside connection I had. So on that hand, it was interesting, a little bit entertaining sometimes to listen to these guys. But as an adult looking back at that now, it's horribly disturbing. I can't imagine answering the phone and hearing a squeaky little kid's voice and being like, yeah, you know, I have a porn addiction, or, you know, all of the conversations that I had. It was a 45-minute call every day for a few weeks with a different person each time.
Well, and you know, honestly, Brian, looking back, I would think your blood would be boiling when you discovered some of the things that Jody had exposed your son to.
Absolutely. And I didn't know that my children were in sessions with Jody. I was separated from my wife and children with the line drawn in the sand that if I had any contact with my wife or children, my ex-wife would divorce me. And that was a rule by Jody. So I didn't know they were in therapy. When I finally threw the towel in and had contact with my kids and invited them over in the temporary space where I was living, found out what was going on, I told them all then, you're not going back to Jody. I don't want you to go back, and you don't have to if you don't want to. And they resoundingly, all three, said, please, we don't want to go back.
So despite all of this evidence of harmful and manipulative teachings from Connections, the question remains,
How much of it is still happening while Jody is behind bars? Well, according to this lawsuit, the answer is clear. The company is continuing to function while Connections website has been deactivated. That much is true. And that definitely limits the amount of people who can hear about Jody and fall into the destructive teachings. There are people like Savage who have been invested in Jody's teachings and in Connections for years, and they continue to be. Meaning there is no doubt that people are still getting fed false narratives and lies about the so-called self-help group. In fact, Jody has specifically talked about continuing Connections to some degree upon her release.
Ryan, I know this sounds crazy, and I still can't put my finger on why it feels this way, but yeah. It feels like I was being set up to end up here.
Oh,
I know that sounds bizarro. I mean, I shouldn't be here. I haven't done anything wrong.
Right, right. But my goodness.
You have 1 minute remaining for this call.
I'll run out of time.
But it was like everything got taken out of the house, and it's in the storage unit so that I could come to jail. It sounds crazy, but it really feels that way.
I don't know if
it would be like some kind of example, but when I get out of here, I have a story to tell, and I am going to try to do everything I can to protect the children, because that's what's happening, is that kids are being
absolutely
horribly abused.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of the kids, anyways, it's a story, but when you come on to that.
Yeah, that's Jody's got plans after her release. The lawsuit states, Jody has no regard for the law. She has no regard for what is and isn't abuse. She participated in bounding children with rope and duct taping them and putting cayenne pepper and honey on their wounds that were inflicted as a result of her actions. She specifically teaches the people in her group that they do not need to follow the laws of the land because the laws can be, quote, distortion, end quote. The suit provides a specific example of this, stating, an example of this occurred in a video in which Hildebrandt instructs a woman, and by implication, all women and mothers, to violate a father's paternal rights. In the video, despite recognizing a father's legal right to be with his child, Hildebrandt instructs this woman to cut off her ex-romantic partner from their child because the law is in distortion. Quote, I understand why the law does this because there's so much deception going on that the law doesn't know what the truth is. They don't know who's telling the truth, end quote. Well, I have some thoughts before I continue. There have been many cult leaders that have continued to run their cults from behind bars, Warren Jeffs being one of them. He ran the FLDS polygamous group while serving a life sentence for sexually harming minors. Despite his conviction, and similarly to Jody, he's been able to maintain some control of the group and has loyal followers who, as a result of his brainwashing, vehemently deny that he has done anything wrong. So if what this lawsuit claims is true, this is no different than Jody exerting her power and cult behind bars, which continues to harm and hurt people, including children. So what exactly is this suit alleging? And what exactly is this suit seeking? Well, first off, the lawsuit specifically says each defendant has engaged in a pattern of wire fraud and therefore a pattern of racketeering activity. It goes on to say that the defendants have collectively engaged in thousands of instances of wire fraud, but individually, they have all engaged in hundreds. Going on to state, in furtherance of their scheme, and as described herein, defendants transmitted or caused to be transmitted by means of wire communication in interstate or foreign commerce, writings, signs, signals, pictures, and sounds, including but not limited to the following. A, thousands of social media wire transmissions on YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, Acast, Apple, Podcasts, Facebook, and Zoom, among others, that furthered the enterprise by attempting to recruit individuals to the enterprise and induce them to pay for the enterprise's fraudulent services. B, upon interstate telephone wires to stalk, libel, threaten, and harass plaintiff and his family to coerce the plaintiff to join the enterprise and to punish him when he refused to do so. C, thousands of wire transfers via credit and or debit cards when fraudulently charging victims. It claims the, quote, objective of the enterprise is to lure members and victims into purchasing services and products from Connections to better one's life. Once in the door, though, Hildebrandt diagnoses victims with false pathologies and fake psychological disorders to entice them into purchasing fraudulent and unnecessary coaching, therapy, counseling, and self-help services from the enterprise. In furtherance of the objective of the enterprise, Hildebrandt also instructs members to utilize tactics of manipulation, physical abuse, psychological abuse, and isolation to keep members and victims within the enterprise and brainwash victims into believing they need to continually invest money into the enterprise through purchasing services and products from Connections to heal themselves and their relationships with others. Another tactic of the enterprise is to employ manipulation and abuse against individuals who reject the enterprise to disincentivize members from leaving the enterprise, end quote. More specifically, the suit alleges that between at least 2008 and July of 2023, that's 15 years, we're talking 15 years, Jody engaged in at least 785 acts of wire fraud. At least 732 acts were committed when hosting and publishing the Connections podcast. At least 27 were when hosting and participating in Connections couples panels. 15 acts were when teaching Connections masterclass via Zoom. At least 7 occasions when teaching and speaking at Connections conferences. And at least 4 occasions through her website, Instagram, and or podcasts. However, it is believed that Jody committed even more. In fact, thousands of acts of wire fraud through social media, but that is hard to prove because the Connections channel on YouTube was deleted and the Moms of Truth Facebook group was limited to members only. The last thing about Jody's acts of wire fraud states, upon information and belief, Hildebrandt engaged in thousands of additional acts of wire fraud because she fraudulently charged enterprise victims via credit and or debit cards for services and products sold by Connections, end quote. Then it moves on to Ruby, who is alleged to have committed at least 298 acts of wire fraud. At least 244 of those were hosting and publishing the Connections podcast. At least 15 were serving as a panelist on Connections panels, and 31 were through advertising Connections on Instagram. And then at the very least, 4 were while she was speaking at Connections conferences and retreats. Similarly to Jody, the suit alleges that she also engaged in thousands of additional acts through social media. Prior to each of these acts being committed, Jody and Ruby would agree to commit the acts. That's an important part of this lawsuit. They would agree to do this beforehand. Now, moving on to Savage. Savage is accused of committing at least 334 acts. It specifically states, quote, specifically, and upon information and belief, Savage engaged in federal wire fraud on at least 36 occasions when she attempted to coerce Tillman to purchase fraudulent services and products from Connections and to join the enterprise when she attempted to recruit other members to the enterprise and convince them to purchase fraudulent services and products from Connections and when she stalked and or harassed Tillman and his family as punishment for not joining the enterprise and for refusing to purchase fraudulent services and or products from Connections, end quote. Then it states, quote, Savage also used interstate and or foreign wires to send at least 296 messages to EJ, all of which furthered the objectives of the enterprise by attempting to coerce EJ to live by the enterprise's principles under Hildebrandt's methodology, end quote. And like Ruby, Jody and Savage also agreed that Savage would do all of those things before she did them. Connections itself is alleged to have committed at least 1,009 acts of wire fraud, 732 instances when Jody hosted the Connections podcast, 244 instances when Ruby hosted the Connections podcast, 27 instances via the Connections couples panels, 15 instances via the Connections masterclass, and 13 at Connections conferences. And then add in thousands of others on social media, which are no longer available for public viewing. But then there's a fourth person listed as committing acts of wire fraud. Dun, dun, dun. And what is her name? Well, her name is Pam Botcher. Pam is accused of engaging in at least 22 acts of federal wire fraud and at least 16 while teaching Connections Masterclass, at least two when teaching at Connections, conferences and retreats, and then at least four through the Connections Instagram page. The suit states that Pam also allegedly engaged in thousands of additional instances of wire fraud because, well, as the president of Connections Foundation, Pam almost exclusively and fraudulently charged enterprise victims via credit and or debit cards for services and products sold by Connections. Well, and speaking of Pam Botcher, who is Pam? Well, not only was Pam the president of Connections, but she was also Jody's best friend for over two decades. This was a long relationship. She was also the person who Ruby's two other minor children were staying with when their little brother escaped and the subsequent arrest happened. Take a look.
Oh, yeah, it's my wife. Is your wife? She's here.
Hi.
Hello, Pam. How are you doing?
Good.
I'm Officer Hawkins, American Fork Police Department.
Hi.
So we had a agency assist out of St. George in Springville that we're just looking for. Okay. When you picked her up, what was the case? Did somebody ask you to pick her up, or did you just pick her up? What was going on?
Well, I'm having guests coming, and she came and did some cleaning for me.
Some cleaning for you?
We're right now in the house.
In the living room, right here.
Okay, great. We're going to have both of you come out here then.
If you can, just for a second. We just had to go over some stuff.
You have a warrant?
Yeah, we do.
Let me see it, please.
So, it's in my car, but right now, my concern is...
Will you just tell them you're all right?
Well, we have to physically see her.
Come to the doorway.
We'll go ahead and get the copy of the warrant for you, okay?
You have a warrant for my house?
Specifically for you.
For you and the child.
Yeah. Okay. So,
what is going on?
As of right now, I'll just need you to give your phone to your husband.
Okay.
Okay. And as of this moment, you're going to be detained right now, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so is there anything on you?
No.
Okay, perfect. Just put your hands in front of you, okay? Just going to place you temporarily under arrest.
Wait.
I'll explain to you.
What are you guys doing?
I've explained this already. I'm being as courteous as I can.
Okay, well, I'm going to call an attorney.
That's fine.
I don't know what's
going on. Yeah, I don't even know what this is all about.
Okay, so I'm going to explain to you when we get to the car. Yes, I just explained to you that you're being detained right now. Her parents were in the situation of a child abuse allegation.
Okay.
DCFS made the report and went to the house and found children malnourished and locked in a safe.
Okay? In a safe?
In a safe. Okay. So now those officers and DCFS have to take custody of those children, and we're looking for this one. The rec center, when they went to go find her, said that you picked her up.
Yeah,
so
I did.
So now they are trying to figure out
why
you picked her up, what you know with her. Is she okay? Did she come here willingly? All that kind of stuff.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, they
so
can ask
as soon
her
as they
that.
Come here,
yeah,
we'll be on our way.
Okay.
Okay, that's why I said you're just detained. You're not placed under arrest just right now until they figure out what's going on with their part. Okay?
Okay.
So as long as she's not tied up and bound because you...
I did make her scrub.
Do something, you
I
know?
Did make her scrub the floor, and they vacuumed and stuff because I have company coming tonight from Costa Rica.
Okay.
So, but she did it of her own free will. We had lunch.
Yeah.
We went to Rolly's Farm and had ice cream.
Those children are. I don't know the full details of how mistreated or how malnourished those children are.
Okay.
All I know is that's the words and treatment that they used.
Yeah.
Which means that they are severely concerned of her well-being.
Okay.
And every child that's in that home.
Okay. So they'll just have to talk to her and...
Because there has been... I've been a part of many DCFS cases where as soon as the parents are hooked up, kids are taken. If there's any kids that aren't in the home immediately when the kids are taken, guess what? They're scurrying around. Other family members are picking them up, that way the parent can come back and grab them before DCFS takes them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, you may be a good person, but there's a lot of people in this world that aren't.
Right. Well, if DCFS is supposed to take her, then they can take her. I'm not going to try to fight that.
Well, what else do we know about Pam Botcher? She was also a participant in the Pen Papers. Pen Papers is a collection of visions and prophecies by Jodi, and Pam is believed to have taken and protected the Pen Papers from police. At her sentencing, Ruby specifically talked to Pam and to Pam's husband, saying, quote, "My dear friends, Pam and Roy, I'm so sorry for letting you down. Because of your association with me, your innocence was called into question," end quote. Since Jodi and Ruby's convictions, many people have called out Pam's involvement in connections that has seemingly, for the most part, flown under the radar. Many have wondered if Pam was essentially an accessory for what was happening, and this lawsuit certainly implies her involvement was deep. The suit further claims that the defendants participated in the scheme of the enterprise knowingly, willfully, and with the specific intent to deceive and or defraud Tillman and others. It says the defendants knowingly misrepresented the nature and consequences of the enterprise's objective under Hildebrandt's methodology to gain fraudulent revenue, stating, quote, "Specifically, defendants induced individuals to obtain services and products from connections for the financial benefit of the enterprise, knowing that Hildebrandt would falsely diagnose victims with non-existent pathologies and or mental health disorders to induce victims to spend money on connections, fraudulent services, and products to the financial benefit of the enterprise." The suit also alleges monetary transactions involving racketeering proceeds, saying that Jodi engaged in a pattern of engaging in monetary transactions in property derived from specific unlawful activity and therefore a pattern of racketeering activity. It specifically lists her house, where Ruby's youngest children were held captive, as being obtained by using criminally derived property, aka she used the funds she got from defrauding others to buy her multi-million dollar house of horrors. It goes on to state, quote, "Hildebrandt's purchase of the Ivins residence affects interstate and foreign commerce because, one, Hildebrandt and Frankie extensively used the Ivins residence to film videos and record podcasts for the enterprise, which are broadcast. And two, Hildebrandt and Frankie used the Ivins residence to create content for the enterprise's various fraudulent services and products, including, without limitation, training videos, classes, and written content, all of which the enterprise charged members located across the United States and or internationally to purchase," end quote. The next section is forced labor, and the suit alleges Jodi, Ruby, and Pam, all engaged in criminal forced labor and therefore a pattern of racketeering. The forced labor was against Ruby's four minor children, the two who were found in Jodi's house and the other two who were found in Pam's house. At Pam's, they were busy cleaning the entire Botcher residence. The two youngest children were forced to do physical tasks like carrying loaded boxes up and down stairs and sitting against a wall without a chair or stool for hours at a time. They were also forced to work outside in the summer heat without shoes and socks, which caused those extreme sunburns. And might I remind you, this is near Death Valley. We are talking not just triple digits, but like it can be 110, 115, and there are no trees for shade near Jodi Hildebrandt's house. A prosecutor compared the conditions that the two children were found in to a concentration camp. Pam Botcher is listed because, according to the lawsuit, Pam was involved in torturing Jodi's niece, Jessie Hildebrandt, when Jessie was a child, and Pam allegedly enforced and encouraged forced labor. It also states that Ruby's two children, Jay and A, who were teenagers at the time of the arrest, again, they were the ones found at Pam's, were routinely starved themselves, or they witnessed their siblings being starved as a result of distortion. The next section of the suit is titled Improper Use of Racketeering Proceeds, seeing that Pam and Jodi likely were involved in money laundering by engaging in improper transfer of monetary instruments. So to explain that in simple terms, in January of 2024, a freeze was put on Jodi's assets so that nothing could be messed with prior to restitution being settled for Ruby's two youngest children that were severely abused. But in that court order, the court identified Pam as being someone possibly involved in hiding Jody's property, and Jody's money. And all of those funds and assets Jody was trying to hide were obtained through her illegal activities, including wire fraud. The suit claims, quote, Hildebrandt and Botcher conducted these financial transactions for the purpose of operating the enterprise's racketeering scheme by allowing Hildebrandt to have sufficient funds after or during her incarceration to continue carrying on the unlawful affairs of the enterprise, end quote. It goes on to say that prior to Jody's arrest, Jody went to Arizona at least twice looking to buy property with her racketeering proceeds. This new property was going to be a place for her to continue to torture Ruby's youngest two children and also create content for the enterprise's various fraudulent services, including training videos, classes, and written content, all of which the enterprise charged members located across the United States to purchase. They even had some international clients too. Make no mistake, as Jody pointed out, and in her eternal core speech, she wanted to spread her message across the globe. So the defrauding of victims and wire fraud, that's gone on for more than two decades at least for Jody and Pam. For Savage's acts of wire fraud, well, that begins in 2015 and then continues after she became a leader in the enterprise in 2016. And Ruby then eventually joined the enterprise by late 2018, 2019, give or take, and she became second in command to Jody. The suit states that discovery will also reveal thousands of instances of federal mail fraud based on the shipping of connections material through the United States Postal Office. Over the years, there have been thousands of victims whose lives and families have been destroyed by the teachings and methodologies of connections and in people who run it and recruit members. The suit claims that defendants have willingly and knowingly participated in the illegal acts.
Well, you still have custody and care and protection over that young woman. And I would do everything in my power to keep her as safe as possible. And if she runs away, that's up to her. She's 17, almost 18. Say, you go stay over there. You don't get to bounce back and forth. That person is not related to us. And he's not related to you. Does that make sense? He's not related? Like, he's just some stranger to you. We are your parents. And if you want to go run off with a stranger, go ahead. But he's not your father. And I would drill that into her head. Giving a sperm does not create a mother or a father. You know, giving DNA back and forth does not constitute being a parent.
As it relates to Savage, the suit claims that she knew about the fraud and the dangers of what was happening very early on, even before Tillman got involved with Connection, saying, quote, at no time did Savage inform plaintiff of the illegitimacy and fraudulent nature of the enterprise and of Connection's services and products. Savage knew of this illegitimacy in part because, being so involved with Connections for months, she personally observed almost every family who used the program to be destroyed by the enterprise. And because Savage also observed the psychological torture inflicted on victims of the enterprise, end quote. So what is Tillman, the plaintiff, seeking exactly by filing this lawsuit? Well, he's claimed multiple damages. This includes loss of income of $10,000 back in 2016 when he had to delay the start of his new job due to having to leave Utah and go to Arizona to get help from his family to regain access to EJ, and Savage cut him off. He has also claimed damage to business relationships, economic prospects, and personal property as a direct result of defendants' racketeering activities. He claimed that the enterprise is directly responsible for his divorce and also his custody proceedings due to Savage cutting his access to EJ based on the enterprise's methodologies and tactics. Tillman claims he lost his job in 2020 while a custody trial was happening, and he was forced to take a job making half of what he had been making prior. The total monetary loss between 2020 and 2023 is probably $90,000, he suggests in this suit. He says that he has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees and has been unable to attend law school because of the time and money he has spent defending himself in domestic proceedings and protecting his daughter from Savage's implementation of Hildebrand's methodology and furtherance of the enterprise. It is estimated that due to not being able to obtain his law degree because of this, he has suffered loss of earning potential that is estimated to be at the very least just over $1 million. Tillman is requesting a jury trial for the 8 claims of relief that are included in the suit. On each of those claims, he is seeking no less than $2,250,000 for general damages. He is also requesting pre-judgment interest as well as his attorney fees being covered. For the 5th and 7th claims for relief, which are fraudulent non-disclosure, fraudulent concealment against Jody, Savage, and Connections, and then the punitive damages against all the defendants, he is seeking general damages according to proof at trial and punitive damages in an amount to be proven at trial. Specifically, for the 8th claim of relief, he is seeking, quote, an order that all assets, capital, tangible property, and documentation in the possession, custody, or control of defendant shall be frozen, pending further order of this court, and that defendants are hereby enjoined from transferring, selling, or in any way disposing of any and all assets, capital, tangible property, and documentation in their possession, custody, or control, pending further order of this court, so that all defendants' affairs, assets, capital, tangible property, and documentation will remain in their present state as of the date this order is entered to prevent defendants from avoiding judgment post-trial. And lastly, on all claims of relief, he is seeking general damages according to proof at trial that preliminary injunctive relief described above and for any other legal and equitable relief for court may deem appropriate. So we have just covered a lot. That was a lot, at least for me. And it is no doubt that this suit makes big claims, frightening claims. And if they are all proven to be true, or even if just some of these claims are proven to be true, it again shows the depths of harm that the teachings of Jody Hildebrand, Ruby Frankie, and the Connections Classroom have done and are still continuing to do. Teaching so reckless and so dangerous that they ricochet still. And let me just say, there is a book currently for sale on Amazon titled, quote, Rings of Responsibility. And who are the authors? Well, the authors of this Rings of Responsibility book is Ruby Frankie and Jody Hildebrand, who both remain behind bars convicted of aggravated child abuse, horrendous torture of children. Well, this book written by them can be yours for $20. And Jody markets to potential readers, explaining that this book is the answer to loving yourself. And that true connection comes through living principles of, are you ready for this? Honesty, responsibility, and humility. With a click of a sales button, you can land this book and it can also land in unsuspecting hands. And knowing what we know now, the marketing for this book continues with a chilling conclusion on its Amazon page. Quote, once you've read this book and learned the principles, please share this with your children, with your grandchildren, family, and friends, end quote. It seems as if Jody and Ruby's beliefs truly do continue to spread.
But the most upsetting thing is that I am completely misunderstood. That is the most horrible feeling. Like, my own family misunderstands me, they misinterpret me, and poor Jody, they misinterpret her, they misunderstand her. She puts her neck out on the line for people, and then they get mad at her. I mean, it is just horrendous. It's horrendous. And you know what? Every Joseph Smith, every wonderful man of God has had to be misunderstood.
That's right.
And so I'm going to get out of this. Who knows? Maybe in 10 days I'll get out of this. If I'm, you know, if truth prevails right now, or, you know, who knows, like 20 years? I don't know. I don't know how long. But I'm going to step out. I'm going to say I went through everything. And I have compassion for the cops, and I have compassion for for myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them. Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.